You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Los Angeles. I'm a writer and producer, and I'm dry today. We've had some big rain, but I'm all dry here in the studios.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm also here in Los Angeles, and I'm the middle sister. And yesterday I did something I thought I would never, ever do in my whole life, sisters.
What is that?
I put my dog in a raincoat. Can you believe I'm the kind of person that puts their dog
I
in a raincoat?
I bet your, like, faux Scotty dog would look cute in a raincoat.
Adorable.
He looks, did it have some plaid on it, Liz?
A neighbor gave it to me, Julie, because her dog died. And it's like a Burberry raincoat.
I was going to say, Burberry would be the way to go.
Yeah, for Inspector Hooper. That's what he looks like. Anyway, I'm that person now. I put my dog in a raincoat. Say no more. Julie?
Okay, well, I'm Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister, and I'm in Dallas, Texas. And I put my shirt on inside out this morning. And you know what I said to myself, sisters? I said, I can do better than that. So that's the inspiration I'd like to start the show with.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I work in a closet. No problem.
No, I just said, I can do better than that. The wearing my shirt inside out.
Good goal setting. Yay.
Quite a pep talk. That's what we bill ourselves as. Pep talk for modern women. Thanks, Jewel. Thanks for that reminder. All right. Today on the show, we have a lot to talk about. As always, we're going to hear more about Julie and Liz's exciting trip to Patagonia. And in fact, I think they branded the mission.
Julie and I haven't finished that discussion. But she pitched me some concepts. So, Leanne, you can weigh in.
All right. Fantastic. I listened to a tough listen, but a wonderful podcast called Believe, about the Larry Nassar case, mm-hmm. that very disturbing case of multiple cases of abuse. I'm going to tell you about that. We have a bitter...
With the U.S. gymnastics team.
Yes, yeah. And many other young girls. Oh. We have a bitter business bureau.
It's been a while, but we're still bitter.
Yeah, we got that. Julie's bringing us some Tuesday trends. Julie, we can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, why don't men wear coats? What's up with that in the winter? A lot of us are experiencing snowy, cold weather. You see guys out there in, like, sneakers and shorts. What's that about? We're going to talk about it.
Right. We have an entertaining sisters. And Julie, I don't know if you know the secret, but Liz sent me an astonishing text last week. Just a really really strong celebrity sighting, which is part of entertaining sisters.
Oh, I love those. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even bother to send them to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I can put you on that list. It's normally Leanne and Sheila because they're here in L.A. It's part of the L.A. lifestyle where we just text each other about celebrities. But, Jewel, easy to add you in. No problem.
Okay.
This was top-notch. And then we're going to do something we have never done on Satellite Sisters before. Julie and I have an NFL bet.
Yes, sisters. That's right.
Rams versus Saints next week.
Who dad you going to say is going to win?
So we're going to do that. But first, Jewel, you wanted to give a small tribute to Carol Channing
passed away at the great age of 97. I saw Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly. It must have been a revival of a revival of a revival.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have a very distinct memory of seeing her. What a spectacular Broadway star she was. What a spectacular Broadway career, movie career she had. She brought so much joy to so many people. So rest in peace, Carol. You did very fine work.
Yeah, she was in Hello, Dolly 5,000 performances.
I definitely saw her. I was trying to pinpoint the year and I have no idea.
But it was definitely on Broadway. You saw a Broadway revival?
On Broadway, yes. Okay. Carol Channing, yes. But it was a revival. Like she was coming back for. She was already, at the time, you know, I'm sure I was a teenager. I thought she was quite old. You know?
Right.
I'm sure she was like 40, you know?
Right, lived to be 97. And so yes, Carol Channing. Thanks, Julie. I didn't know you had seen her on Broadway. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's always good. Very special.
Good to have in your back pocket. All right, I wanted to do a follow-up, just a short follow-up to the two stories I did last week. Mm-hmm. First of all, my son Brooks went on his first business trip.
Oh, yeah.
I can report that it was a complete success.
Yay!
Yes, he managed to get
to
all three cities with his lithium batteries. And his coat and his gear.
All of his equipment.
He got to all three cities, came back, said it was great. Could not believe that not only did they pay for his food, they they also gave him a per diem. Because that's how it works in the in the film business, is you get a per diem, but then they usually end up paying for your food anyway. So I don't really know how the shooting went. I just can tell you the hotels and the food, he couldn't stop talking about it. He's like,
A nice, fresh, young blood heading off on business trips, still thrilled by, you know, hotel rooms.
Food and drink.
Free food.
So, and they booked him for the next leg of the tour.
Fantastic.
Of the shoot. So he'll be going to Seattle and Dallas. So that's
nice.
So, Julie, you don't have to have him over for dinner because he's on a business trip. So
he's going to bring the food.
I'm sure he would love his aunt to show up at his workplace.
Hi. Yeah, do it. Yeah. Do it, Julie.
And maybe I can bring him some cookies or something. What do you think?
So, and then in true business travel fashion, he texted me last night. I am sick as a dog. Could you bring me soup? So got completely sick on his three-city tour.
Do. Yeah.
Right. So so I said, well, get some hand sanitizer. Welcome to
Airborne,
business travel.
That's the next thing he needs travel list. Yes.
I'm going to get him some of that, actually. And then secondly, I told you I was doing a speech last week. I did not forget to go to the speech. So that, first
concerned.
Of all, check.
Good.
And second, it was 100 women. The whole point of this club is purely a social club, was to make new friends, which I like. So it was sort of preaching to the choir. When you're like talking about a book you wrote about friendship to a group whose entire mission is to make new friends, I was a winner. I was a
They're
hit.
They're eating it up.
Yeah.
Good.
So I get there, I schlep the books in, I have the lunch, I talk to everybody, I do the speech, I sign, I talk to more people. I'm leaving at 2:00. I'm in South Orange County. For those of you
that's you might as well be in Wisconsin.
Yes.
You know.
Thank you, Julie. And I have the window. Like, if I get out of there at 2, I'm going to miss rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
But I have to make the move. But a lovely woman who has a walker waiting out in the parking lot flags me down. It's Marilyn, Liz. She was at the speech, but she didn't have her hearing aid in.
Oh.
So she said, "What did you say?"
So that slowed you down.
And so what did you say?
You know, doing all the recaps over there at Satellite Sisters Talk TV, I had to recap myself, Liz. You know, but...
That's a skill.
But, you know, she enjoyed it. It was like she was hearing it for the first time because she was hearing it for the first time. She's like, wait, you wrote a book? I was like, yeah, Marilyn, let's start there. Liz, she's had a tough year. She's 90.
Wow.
Uh-huh. You know, she broke her hip.
Oh,
she had to sell the condo, get rid of 60 years worth of stuff.
Okay, so you're in rush hour traffic now. If you're covering that much material with Marilyn at the Valet Parker, you missed your window.
Yeah, I missed the window, Liz, but her daughter's in Los Angeles. Her son, the doctor, is in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's just been a hard year for her, and it has been. It's tough to...
But she made it to the luncheon,
Leanne. She made it to the luncheon,
Julie. Was she driving, Leanne?
No. Here's why, Julie, because she missed her driver's license test last spring when she broke her hip. She's having it again next week. But so she had the driver from the new assisted living place, even though it was out of his territory driver. She doesn't really like the new assisted living place.
I mean, why would you? Why would you?
So, so she may be back behind the wheel soon. But all I know
South Orange County.
All I know is it took me 2 hours to get home from the speech. But it was well worth it. It was well worth it. So I made a new friend in Maryland at the speech.
Yes, you did. You're never too old to make new friends, Leanne.
No, you're not.
Say that at Satellite Sisters.
And I said it in the speech, Julie. And I said it to Maryland. That's what I said. So there you have it.
Twice. You said it twice. Okay, Leanne, well, you were in South Orange County making friends. Liz and I, Leanne, are very busy on our Patagonia prep. Mm-hmm. As we announced, we are making an epic trip to Argentina. We are going to see the peaks in Patagonia. That's and we're going hiking. So with TikTok, we are down to the final weeks before our departure. So I am now in, this is the prep that I did this week. First of all, I took my grandchildren, my husband and I took our grandchildren out to an Argentine restaurant. Oh. I felt like this was important. I had, you know, we really wanted to get into a spirit of it. We saw this big billboard in Dallas that there was some new Argentine restaurant. We're like, sign us up. We're going. And so we took the three that live here. Their parents were out on a date, so we were babysitting. So we're like, okay, we're going to the Argentine restaurant. And here's what I know about Argentine food now. You get giant plates of beef. That is it, you know, which was met with a lot of enthusiasm by my grandchildren. But what they really loved more, especially the five-year-old, was the giant steak knives that this Argentine restaurant gave you. I mean, they were, you could butcher, like, you know, animals with the equipment that they provided at the table. But we had a fantastic dinner. And so I've familiarized myself with some of the, you know, some of the food, you know, some of the various things. So I feel like that's a good orientation. We have upped our mileage, Liz. My husband and I, we walked, we did 5 miles on Saturday and 6 miles on Sunday. The poor puppy dog is exhausted. The new dog who's coming along on these like, they're not really hikes because we don't have any hills here in Dallas, but these long walks, the puppy dog's like, what did I sign up for? What are these crazy people? I wanted a nice, mature couple. And what am I getting? I mean, the dog is exhausted.
Okay.
I ended up, Liz, buying more stuff. I mean, you know, we have a limited baggage space that we're allowed to bring on this trip. And, Leon, it's a trip where you do a bag in a bag, where you have to bring a small duffel bag and transfer some of your stuff to the small duffel bag for 3 days. And then you're reunited with your mid-sized bag later on.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing, but it is not stopping me from buying, like, I don't know, more layers. I bought a gaiter. I bought a more technical pack. You know, I just, I don't know.
My bedroom floor, this is the staging area. It looks like I'm planning a winter trek to Antarctica, not a summer hike in Argentina. I have it all laid out. And then you start putting in multiples of things you never even wear once in a week. Now all of a sudden you're bringing four of them. For instance, hats. You may have seen in the Satellite Sisters Instagram feed over the weekend, I posted the picture of my new Wallaroo hat, which is to protect me from the sun. But then I do have three other hats in the pile because Julie said I need a fleece hat because it gets really cold there. So I've got the Wallaroo, I've got the winter fleece hat, and then I've got my Operation Sea Turtle hat. And, of course, I have my Satellite Sisters baseball cap.
Wow. So it's a lot of hats.
I probably don't need four hats, but which one of those four are you going to give up?
You better take all four. I don't know what you're going to put in the in the smaller duffel bag. That is going to be, we're going to be really freaked out about that. I don't know how you're going to get your 12 pair of hiking socks in there.
Yes. Okay. So that's your prep. You're good?
Yeah. Well, and I made some key decisions. I'm just going to be dirty. I'm not bringing that many hiking pants. So I'm going dirty. I've jettisoned the bug repellent because, again, my husband and I did some research. It's going to be very windy there. We don't think the bugs, we think it's going to be too windy for mosquitoes.
Okay.
Famous last words.
They told us not to bring, they told us to bring earplugs. I'm not bringing them. I can barely hear anyway, so I think I'll be all right. And I've elevated my footwear. I am bringing my Rothy's. Because they are going to be my transition shoe. They can substitute as my flip-flops, and I can wear them as my city shoe. So there
That's
you have
true, because we have a day on either end of Buenos Aires, so you can't be wearing your hiking boots around. Yeah. A glamorous capital city.
But I'm not walking around with you if that's what you're wearing.
No, me neither. Okay, so my prep, the hiking pants. Thank you, everyone who posted advice about the hiking pants. It's true. This whole hiking pants for women industry needs to be disrupted. Can I use that word?
Because Liz, I'm totally with you. And we didn't even talk last week about how most of the hiking pants are low-rise hiking pants, Leanne.
Yeah.
I mean, they're for like 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
I mean, Who wants a low-rise hiking pant?
No,
right?
It's why I don't hike, the pants.
But we, I wanted to report on one key fact. For many of you posted useful tips in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, by the way. Many of you have already been to Patagonia, which just is amazing to me. But you were concerned about high-altitude training. Here's the thing about Patagonia. It itself is not at a high altitude. Like, the highest peaks in the world outside of Asia are the Andes in Latin America. So you have like the 22,000 feet peaks there in the Andes. We are not climbing to the top of any peaks. Or,
No, we are not.
Just speaking for myself. Me, no. But the town of El Calafate, which is where this whole adventure begins, that's only at 653 feet. You know, some of these other towns, El Chaten, it's 1,300 feet. So unless I'm reading meters for feet or something, I think we're going to be okay. It still will be strenuous, but it won't be strenuous at high altitude. Now, if any of you who have been there would like to correct me, by all means, because Rebecca has been to Chilean Patagonia because, you know, this region crosses across Argentina and Chile. And her number one tip, the rain gear is key, Julie. So make sure you get that in the small duffel.
I've been wearing it around here in Dallas. So it's ready to go. Yeah.
So Lori just went last year with her husband. She posted a super cute picture of she and her husband at the Perito Moreno Glacier, which I believe we're hitting up at some point. Mm-hmm. Her number one tip is most of the ATMs are out of money. So
that was a good tip.
So if you think you need cash, bring it along. Elizabeth, now this is insane to me. She was driving in the mountains between Chile and Argentina, like over the holidays, listening to the Safe for Work episode where, Leon, it's you talking about me.
Oh, wow.
She's in the very place where we are going, listening to us talk about ourselves. So thank you for that, Elizabeth. Mendoza, Argentina. That's kind of the wine area.
I'd
like to go there next time. And then Anne said, if you think you've packed enough socks, think again. Because
I know, I read Anne's comment.
Her husband is a scout leader or something. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. Anyway, so, okay, there's that. So what else did I? So no high altitude, hiking pants. Okay, modifying hotel. I ran into some alarming questions at the Americans' lack of geographic knowledge. Now, maybe because I worked at National Geographic for many years, I picked up a few things. But I had to call American Express Travel because my friend Judy, we're going to be sharing rooms when we're in El Calafate. And I just wanted to, I hadn't reserved that. I had reserved just a single room. So I wanted to make sure I was getting a double room. Had to work that through American Express. You know how sometimes you have those calls where they just keep asking you the same information over and over again? Mm-hmm. Your mother's birthday. Blah, 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 blah. So I went through all of that. I went through all of that on Sunday. And then at the end of the call, they said, okay, we can't do this because the reservations desk at your actual hotel is closed. It's the weekends. So that's alarming. But then she said, but this is, I said, well, what time should I call tomorrow so they're open? She said, well, you're going to South Carolina. So that's the East Coast. I'm like, no. Okay. So on Sunday, they think I'm going to South Carolina. Then on Monday, I go through the whole rigmarole again. And she said, where is this hotel? And I told her. And she actually, a woman at American Express Travel actually said this sentence. So is that Argentina, France? What is that? I was like, so you try to be nice, but I'm like, no, Argentina is its own country. You should not have to say that to travel people, right? Am I wrong?
I'm now Googling Argentina, France, because
there probably
perhaps
is some like Argento or something that came up. I don't know. I said, no, I'm going to Argentina, not Argentina, France. Anyway, we got it all worked out, so it's fine. And then
the only thing that comes up when I Google Argentina, France is France versus Argentina in the World Cup.
Yes.
So that's
that's a whole different situation. So then the last thing is, we mentioned last week that we are going to be covering our whole trip on Instagram. So the Satellite Sisters Instagram, make sure that you're, you know, following us on Instagram. We're going to use the hashtag SatSistersTravel. So I'll put this in the show notes. But SatSistersTravel, anything we post is going to use that hashtag. But then Julie has been pitching various branding concepts for the actual trip. So I was awakened early this morning with a text from Julie.
Well, it wasn't real. It was at 7 o'clock Central Time. So it was a little early, but I figured you'd have your phone off.
She does
I mean,
not.
And I had these fresh ideas, Liz. Yes. I just wanted to get them to you as soon as I could.
Okay, I'm not complaining. It was a delight to be awakened at 5:02 a.m. with there's some good ideas here. There's one is my favorite. So Patagonia A Go-Go.
Oh, that's cute.
That's the one I liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Patagonia.
Yeah.
And Operation Peak Peeping, which is just too hard to say. Yeah. I know it's only a hashtag. So I think we should go with hashtag Patagonia A Go-Go. You up for
I
that?
I do too. Okay. That
so
was my
is
number
that
one pick.
Two A's at the end?
Oh, yeah.
It's tricky to spell. I think just for simplicity, maybe go Patagonia. But I'm just saying Patagonia A Go-Go is cute. It's your call. It's your call.
Maybe Go Patagonia 2019.
I like it.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, Jewel. I'm just thinking of the spelling issue.
The two A's in a row.
I'm still going to call it Patagonia A Go-Go because I thought that was pretty darn cute.
Anyway, we will post whatever. We will let you know what hashtag. But mainly follow Sat Sisters Travel. And by the way, that hashtag, any photos you ever want to post in your own Instagram and use the hashtag Sat Sisters Travel. We love seeing where you are. Like Beckett Graham from the History Chicks.
Yeah.
Did you see that she was at Versailles this
week? I know, all these great Paris.
She was bustling.
Yes.
Anyway, so there you go. So that's that's the plan for Patagonia.
Fantastic. Sounds good.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, so here we are, sisters. Sadly, I have to announce the end of an era for something that was very important in our formative lives. And that is the sad news that early Sunday morning of this past weekend, the Shakespeare Theater in Stratford, Connecticut, burned to the ground. Did you see that on TV,
shocking, Julie?
This
so really shocking. Yeah.
So for us, we grew up in like two towns away. This was the land of school field trips. This was our introduction probably to live theater of any kind, but certainly our introduction to Shakespeare. I remember seeing a Midsummer's Night Dream there. I remember seeing, which was fun. I remember seeing King Lear then, which kind of hit me going when you're a kid. But it was
Twelfth Night. Yeah. Went to see Twelfth Night there.
I've seen Macbeth, Henry IV. Yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of plays there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. And it was started in 1955. Okay. We were not born yet. Oh, Julie was born. But...
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Liz. Always like to be reminded. Hats off.
But it was started by people in the theater community because that part of Fairfield County is really just an hour outside of New York City. There were always a lot of theater people around in Westport and Fairfield and Stratford.
And New Haven, the New Haven Longworth Theater.
That's right.
Up the road, yeah.
That's right. So they started the Shakespeare Theater, and they got really good performers there. Katharine Hepburn performed there, Christopher Plummer, Christopher Walken. You know, many, many people that you would know from the Broadway stage would do these short stints at the Shakespeare Theater in Stratford. And we got dragged there in school buses every year, no matter what.
Like, because it was also built in the ground.
Yes, it looked like the old globe. Right. Yes.
So, and it was in Stratford, Connecticut. Yeah. Get it?
So anyway, it burned to the ground on Sunday night. Apparently it had been unused for a while. I didn't realize that the state had taken over the theater at one point when the original funder was a guy named Joseph Verner Reed. So he was a philanthropist who put up all the money for this thing. And he passed away, and then it sort of changed hands a few times. Anyway, it was sitting there empty, and now it burned to the ground. But it's sad, but for us to have had that kind of introduction to live theater and the language of Shakespeare and all kinds of things which are a reach for younger kids, it was just amazingly memorable. So it was very sad to see that on the news.
That's one of the reminders, too, that Shakespeare, it's meant to be seen. You know, it's meant to be performed. It's very hard to get into
it
sometimes.
It's drudgery to read.
Right, yes.
Let's just admit it.
Right.
You know.
Right. Particularly, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. That is early exposure to Shakespeare, which helps. Because eventually, when you work your way up, you can figure it out and you've seen it and everything like that. So, yeah, I found that really sad. I was saying to Liz, Jewel, I think we also went to see that... amidst the
Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol there, remember?
The ill-fated.
That one Christmas Eve, Mom thought that would be a fun family activity, and it was like the worst thing we ever saw for 6 hours, and we mocked her for 20 years for making us go.
It's a classic theatrical fiasco,
good,
I think.
Good times.
Anyway, that's sad.
All right, Liz, I want to mention something that is a tough listen, but I think really worthwhile. I went through this weekend the podcast Believed, which is produced by Michigan Public Radio producers Kate Wells and Lindsay Smith. And this is an 8-part series on the Larry Nassar case. He's mm-hmm. like the creep that molested all of those young athletes, mm-hmm. both on the U.S. Olympic team and in and around his practice at Michigan State University and that town of Michigan.
Over many, many years
after many, many women and girls and mothers and doctors had reported him, he still managed to keep his practice and keep on going. So I saw that this was recommended by Deb McCall. She's a listener to Satellite Sisters, and she told us that her daughter, Morgan, who's been very vocal in the last mm-hmm. year, was one of the survivors of Larry Nassar, and she said she had recommended it. And one of the things, I want to tell you three things I learned about it, because it's not an easy listen, but I found it illuminating. Because I had, the big question I had after that case was, why did that guy, like, was he the only doctor? I just couldn't understand why he continued to serve these organizations like the U.S. Gymnastics, the United mm-hmm. States Olympic Committee. Like, couldn't they find anyone else? Mm-hmm. And what's extraordinary about this particular podcast is that they focus, first of all, it's Michigan Public Radio, so they focus on the Michigan piece of it.
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot about the USA Gymnastics piece because that generally happened at other places. So they stick to the Michigan story. He still, you know, mm-hmm. victimized hundreds of girls there locally.
At Michigan State.
Yeah, and yes, and in that community, because the girls were mainly 10, 11, 12, when the abuse started.
Jeez.
I know. But what it clarified for me is that this guy, what a monster. Like, mm-hmm. just, he was a master manipulator. And they dug up these two producers, Kate Wells and Lindsay Smith. They had been reporting on this for years, sort of the first reporters in on the scene. They dug up police interview tapes with Larry Nassar, mm-hmm. and he would bring in PowerPoints and here's what my medical procedure is. And he would just overwhelm the police with his medical knowledge and is this and is that. And you can hear just everything in his voice now that you know who he is. And we saw him in that courtroom in mm-hmm. the orange jumpsuit. That's not what he presented. It was like, I'm a doctor. Yes, I was at the Olympics. I was this, I was that. And so even when very credible witnesses came forward, they just couldn't build a case because he would just diffuse it. Mm-hmm. And it was so manipulative. And to actually hear him talk, I was like, oh, now I get it. He just snowed everybody.
Why they deferred to him for all these years.
It was just this weird, bizarre veneer of medical information that kept him protected. Mm-hmm. And the second thing.
But it's surprising no other doctor, like, you know, Julie stepped forward. But I guess that's.
One of the moms who stepped forward, they were a doctor. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was a doctor. She had gone to medical school with him. And the police couldn't make anything stick because this guy was so manipulative. Oh. And this is the second thing I learned. Having the imprimatur of these huge, powerful organizations, that is really hard to break through.
Yeah.
You know, the U.S. Gymnastics, Michigan State University, the United States right. Olympic Committee, they all surrounded him. And time again, you hear in the tape with the survivors and with their parents or with their lawyers was, we just couldn't do anything. He was Larry. He mm-hmm. was, you know, he was the U.S. gymnastics team doctor. What were we going to say? We were powerless against these giant organizations. So that was why him? He managed to snow everybody that he was this brilliant doctor mm-hmm. and that these were, you know, techniques that were completely above board. He had the imprimatur of these powerful organizations. But the other thing you learn, and which was the focus of this, was the survivors' voices, is the power of being believed. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Some of those women had been building their own cases for 16, 17 years. Like, they had come forward, their cases had been dismissed, and they didn't let it go. They were like, someday I'm going to have my moment. And the day that all of that happened, when, you know, finally
right.
there was an officer at Michigan State, and finally there was backup evidence, and these women who had been in the shadows came forward and said, this is who I am, and this is what happened to me. The power of being believed is hugely important. So I can't recommend the documentary enough. Is it an easy listen? It is not.
Okay. It's 8 episodes. They're about 20 to 30 minutes long. Obviously, there is language. There is, you know, real description of the sexual assault because it was important to hear, like, what had actually happened. But it does make you think about all those kind of big institutional cases and how important it is for survivors to have a voice and to keep on speaking up. So thank you, Deb, for mentioning that.
We put a link to that in the show notes if you do want to listen or just even read more about it.
Right. Also, on that track, speaking of powerful men who have the imprimatur of organizations, it's our Bitter Business Bureau. Freaking John Lasseter got another giant job.
That's a good title for him.
What I like is that Leanne, in the notes that she did that we all share with each other about what we want to talk about this week, Leanne just put, "Welcome back, creepy Lex John Lasseter."
Yes. I mean, how did that man get a job, Leanne?
Okay, so if the name doesn't ring a bell, he's the guy that, like, made all the brilliant Pixar movies.
Yes.
Okay, and last year...
And then saved Disney after he did that.
Right. So he's made every movie you love, and then he saved the company, Walt Disney, you love. But in the wake of the Me Too movement last year, very quietly, while other people were having much bigger sort of criminal investigations around them, many, many accusations of lecherous behavior came forward at Pixar, and he had to walk away.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where he was such a lech that other executives there, if there were young, attractive females, they would say, you can't go into a meeting with him. You're going to be too distracting. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just the baseline. Like, don't even be in the room with him. So everybody knew that he was a creepy, gross guy. But he was a creative genius. So he stepped away for a year, and now he is going to be the head of animation for Skydance Media, so which is the company, it's owned by Larry Ellison's son.
Yeah, David Ellison owns this. It's interesting. Both of Larry Ellison's kids are in the movie business.
Yeah.
This is David Ellison.
Yeah.
But it's a private company, right? So I think it's I don't think that he could get a job again at a big publicly traded company because the backlash would be so
great. Still, at a even if you work for a private company, you know, employees at that company, if they, you know, if he continues the same behavior.
Of course.
They're able to bring charges, suits, whatever against the employer.
Yeah, well, he's really thought deeply and hardly about it in the last year, Joel. He's had some substantial conversations.
Yes.
He's going to be good. Yeah.
That's in David Ellison's note to all the employees, he said, "I've had substantive conversations." I just want to say, I'm really glad you two are talking about this amongst yourselves. That's good. Hey, David Ellison, have you had any substantive conversations with the women at Disney? Or maybe the women who work in your company? Or maybe some of the men care, too, because they don't want to be working with a lech, because guess what? The few men that behave like this really undermine the rest of the men who do not behave like this and understand. It's really pretty unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It just says, like, with a creative person, you just allow a lot of terrible behavior because that's part of, like, who they are. So it's easy to replace an executive. It is not easy to replace a creative genius.
Yes.
And that's what all this is saying. It's like, you know,
I think it's fair to say we're watching him, right? Like,
we're watching him.
Not watching any,
not
new
watching
movies,
any
though.
Movies. It's on the Woody Allen school of boycott of one. John Lasseter.
Okay,
you're
he's
on my
going
list.
On the list.
You're on my list, John Lasseter.
Okay,
well,
moving
you know,
on
it's
to Tuesday,
Tuesday
trends.
So I've got some trends for you, sisters. And it's also cold. You know, most of the country is freezing cold. I know you're having rain in California, but it's cold out there. And I wanted to ask your opinion of a trend that we, you know, that I see sweeping the nation is men wearing inappropriate clothes during the winter. Have you seen this? I know you're in Southern California.
Yeah.
But have you been in, you know, like in New York, Philadelphia, cold places, Chicago, and men are walking around with no winter coat on? They're just tromping around in the snow in their sneakers and a baseball hat. What
and
is
this
that?
This is
all,
like grown-up men, not like just Leon's
no,
son.
No, not teenagers.
Know.
You know, because teenagers, that's a whole nother thing. They don't. Yeah, they insist on that. You know, wearing shorts all year round. But these are grown men. You know, and so is it a macho thing, or did they just fail to look at the forecast and see that it's in the 30s or the 20s, or are they contrarians, or maybe they have a different body temperature? I don't know. But
I think this it's all trend. Of those things. I think it's all of those things, Julie.
All of those. Yeah. Okay. It's also, I think, when they talk to men who are just tromping around in shorts and a baseball hat in the snow, a lot of them cite comfort and habit. Like if they're just used to wearing t-shirt and a shorts, that's all they want to wear. And they feel all stiff and bundled up in a winter coat. So
Julie, you're not the only one investigating this, that you have.
Is a trend. I saw the story in the Wall Street Journal. Men are doing this. They're out there like inappropriately dressed. I think their mothers would say that, perhaps their girlfriends, their wives, their partners, whomever, you know, but when they talk to men, they just have the hat, you know, they like to wear the same things, yeah. You know, rain or shine, hot or cold.
All right, satellite misters, if you'd like to share your thoughts on this, you know.
Right. I mean, they're not really doing harm, maybe to themselves and to their immune system, but it's just curious. Like, if you could have a winter coat on, why wouldn't you put one on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
I also think men look handsome in coats. They have a lot of nice coat options. They should take advantage of it.
Right. Okay. You can wear whatever you want, right?
A nice overcoat
is a great look.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's what they want. Okay, second trend. This is coming to you from the Dallas Morning News. This was their design column. Big color. You know the color of the year is coral, and we've already talked about that. But the Dallas Morning News is saying that the big color to paint your walls in your house is black or onyx or charcoal or cafe noir. And that if you paint the walls of your interior, walls of your house, a nice black color, that's going to create a cozy, enveloping ambiance. Mm-hmm. It's going to be elegant. It's going to be calm. It's going to be cocoon-like. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? Would you paint your walls black?
I wouldn't, but I have been in black rooms, and they are kind of stunning. If it's done well, they're beautiful. I remember a friend, Daphne, painted her dining room, 20 years ago black. I was like, what is this? I mean, it just kind of stuns you. It looks great.
Yeah, that sort of small jewel box kind of room where you could do that. I would never do it.
In California, you look like an idiot. Because, like, the whole point of living here is the natural light.
Natural light. Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
So,
I say two thumbs down on black. But we'd like to hear from other people if they have successful, black rooms, black walls, and why they painted them that color. I would really like to know. Because I don't get it. Okay. Third thing that I think everyone that I just don't understand the reaction to, I think it's one of the big trends this week, is why are we all obsessed with the Jeff Bezos, Mackenzie Bezos divorce? Why is that? Why was that such a big news story? Mm-hmm. And then following that, if you read the Sunday New York Times, big coverage, front page of the style section is the divorce of Libby and David Mugabe. I don't know who these people are. Apparently they're big in the art world, but that was all over that was as if that was some giant piece of news that we all had to know about and talk about. And I don't know.
Yeah. I saw that story in the Times over the weekend, Julie. I was like, who are those people? And it was big photos. It was a lot of attention paid to that. So I did not get beyond the headline. The Jeff Bezos, Mackenzie Bezos thing, it's, they're just, the stakes financially are so fascinatingly high. Like I can see, I'll read a paragraph into that story, but then I'm pretty much done with it. Oh, guess what? He was cheating on her. That's not a real shocker. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. I don't know.
I don't actually care about that. It never occurred to me to say the words, who is Jeff Bezos' wife? Like, I didn't care. Uh-huh. But then I read about her and I thought I saw she's a novelist.
Like you, Leanne. Yes.
So that is the way to be a novelist. I am glad that a novelist is going to get $70 billion.
Okay, I think that's just going to help.
That's
her.
A win for our team.
Yes.
So,
okay, you're on the Mackenzie Bezos team.
A win for our team.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I just, I think their families involved, their children involved.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's like a train wreck or it's gossip and we're supposed to be interested. I thought the coverage has been way over the top with that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think.
All right.
I would agree. All right. Stay tuned. We have more coming up, including entertaining sisters and then top 10 coffee cities.
Oh, wow.
And don't forget our NFL bet.
Our NFL bet.
Okay. All right. Oh, time for entertaining sisters. Is that where we are now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that I'm printing out our outline, like on both sides of the page, I just completely lose track
of where we are. It is confusing.
Okay, just turn it over. All right. So last...
We're going to get some people with skills, Liz. Don't worry.
Last week in Entertaining Sisters, oh no, last week on my to-do list, I said that I was going to a screening of the movie First Man, which, Julie, you had recommended, even though you said about a third of it was so sickening you had to close your eyes.
Right.
But because it's like award season here in Southern California, they do special screenings of these movies and the director comes or the stars come, whatever. So I was going to a theater in my neighborhood because they were screening First Man, which I missed the first time around, and Damien Chazelle, who's like, can I just say, he's so disgustingly talented. Yeah. It is really unbelievable. So Damien Chazelle was the director, and he did La La Land, and he did Whiplash. And those are three very different movies.
And
so,
great movies.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So Damien Chazelle was going to be there, and Claire Foy was going to be there, because she plays Neil Armstrong's wife. And so I was super excited about that. Well, then I get there, and what's the first big announcement? What do I... Julie, you want to know what I texted Leanne? It was...
What?
They just announced Ryan Gosling is also here. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, that is major.
Yeah, major. He plays Neil Armstrong in the movie. And so they screened the movie. And I would describe, I really liked this movie a lot.
I did too.
And I would describe it as the right stuff story, but without the macho vibe. You know, I loved the right stuff.
Right.
And it was all like the derring do. This is really kind of the dark, hard, personally very challenging side of being in these insanely primitive machines and doing something that was just crazy to even imagine. And it's very deep and very thoughtful. And much of it is about the relationship between Claire Foy and Ryan Gosling and like what she goes through in supporting Neil Armstrong in this. So anyway, I recommend the movie, but even more, surprise, surprise, Ryan Gosling is totally cute and charming, and he was so great. And you could see...
Do you think they didn't announce it beforehand because it would have been overrun?
Maybe, yeah.
Right, that they were just actually trying to fill the theater and then...
Right.
Right, okay.
Yes, because why did he just sign up at the last minute?
Right.
I kind of got the feeling that he and Claire Foy have a really fun, great relationship. And then maybe, maybe he thought, well, as long as you're doing it, I'll come too. Sort of supporting another cast member. And, you know, he was just so smart and funny. All three of them, I thought, were delightful.
And he's very good in the movie. Yeah, it's a really internal kind of movie.
Yes, yes.
The part I could watch. The part, there's...
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at PROS.com/ sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
And for both of them, it would be interesting to actually like look at the screenplay, because Claire Foy doesn't really get to say that much, but her role is really key and really tough. And a lot of it is body language and reactions and what is she really feeling when various things are happening to her family.
So acting. So the acting.
Super acting. Like, yes. The
acting.
Like,
good point, Leah.
Like doing things with her face.
Yes.
You know, ooh, just not.
Oh, this is some commentary.
Anyway, so I was really glad I made the effort to go. And extra bonus, Ryan Gosling. And let's just say this. Ryan Gosling in person did not disappoint. So there you go.
Did people scream when they announced that, or did they try to play it cool like Los Angeles?
No, there was definitely a sort of gasping in the audience. Everybody whips out their phones, of course, as did I, to text everyone you know that Ryan Gosling's going to be in this room any minute now. So super fun.
Okay, two other recommendations if you're not hanging out with Ryan Gosling, if you're just lying around on your couch, two good inspirational articles. You don't even have to read a whole book to be inspired. The first was an op-ed that appeared in the Sunday New York Times called The Joy of Being a Woman in Her 70s by Mary Piper, who is writing a book on that topic. But it's delightful. It's totally, I think she's a solid satellite sister, whether she knows it or not, because it's many of the same themes that we talk about. But she said, here's what she writes, by the time we're in our 70s, we've had decades to develop resilience. Many of us have learned that happiness is a skill and a choice. We don't need to look at our horoscopes to know how our day will go. We know how to create a good day. How about that? Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a very inspirational article. Thanks to Liz. It will be posted at satellitesisters.com. Mm-hmm. It's called The Joy of Being a Woman in Her 70s. Another article that I found inspirational, because I'm always happy when cowgirls are in the news. This as well was in the Sunday New York Times. And the title of the article is Reclaiming the Work of the West. Apparently, there's some kind of shift going on in the West. And as men leave ranches for less gritty work, more ranches in the West are being led by women. How great is that? And they're employing new technology. They have new ideas about ecology and the land. They have fabulous pictures of women working on the ranch. And that's another very inspiring and motivating article, whether, you know, to to get in touch with your inner cowgirl.
Well, Julie, maybe once we come back from Patagonia Go-Go, having ridden on the pampas and the estancias, we will be inspired.
Yes, I know. We're going to get some gaucho pants, Liz, and we're going to
ride around. No more apparel. The pants are already such a giant problem.
I hope you're inspired to take some Spanish lessons. Okay.
I've got a book for that, Lane. We're all set. Don't worry.
All right. This comes to us, Liz, from the people at Apartment Guide. Thank you, Apartment Guide.
Wow.
I love your pitches.
Amazing what comes into our inbox. Amazing.
This one caught my eye, though, and I think this has broad interest to the Satellite Sisterhood because one thing we all unite around is coffee.
Coffee.
And these are the top 10 coffee cities. Okay, based on coffee businesses per resident.
So the highest density coffee.
Highest density coffee. But presumably, if you have a lot of coffee, like, it's good coffee and people love it and you're amongst your people, coffee lovers. And because it came to us from Apartment Guide, they also handily give you the average month's rent.
So I think that's because you're
going to be spending all your money on coffee. You won't have time for an expensive apartment. Yeah,
Julie, that's not true. But that's not what they're saying here. They're not trying to make any correlation. They're just saying, by the way, if you love coffee and you want to move to this city, this is the rent. And then there are a lot of coffee puns in the copy, Julie. But anyway, number 10. I know we have listeners. Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of coffee shops in Ann Arbor, and the average rent for a one-bedroom apartment, $1,300.
Okay. That's doable. Okay.
Number 9, Everett, Washington. Oh. This is a suburb of Seattle. Okay. They are number 9 on the list. It's much more affordable than Seattle average rent, $1,300.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. This one was a surprise to me. Pittsburgh, PA.
Oh.
Big coffee town, Liz.
Yes.
Huge coffee.
I think of it as like Steel Town.
Yeah, that's what the first line in the copy says. Coffee may not be the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Steel City.
Yeah, yeah.
But the caffeine scene is growing. It's buzzing. It's buzzing there.
There's a lot of good buzz about Pittsburgh across the board.
Yeah, right. It's experiencing a renaissance. Yeah.
And it has very, reasonable rent for this list, $1,200 a month for a one bedroom. Oh, you know we love Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes.
Big coffee town.
I knew it was going to be on the list. Yes.
Big coffee town and one bedroom rent, about $1,500 a month. Mm-hmm. Okay. Salt Lake City. That surprised me because
I thought that Mormons don't drink caffeine.
Yeah. But they have a lot of serious coffee cred, Liz. Who would have known that? And you can also live there for about $1,200 a month.
Nice.
This is no surprise to anyone. Portland, Oregon. Number five on the list. In fact, it has been called by Travel and Leisure America's best coffee city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one-bedroom rent in Portland is $1,550 a month now. When I first moved there, and I know it was 180 years ago, I had that little apartment that I loved in Northwest.
I remember.
$380 a month. That nice one-bedroom.
Yes.
$380.
And that apartment was within walking distance of about 10 great coffee shops.
10 coffee shops. All right.
I think people in Portland maybe drink a little too much coffee.
Yeah.
But okay. That's just a personal opinion.
Well, they need to drink a lot to revive from all the beer. They drank the craft beer they drank the night before, Joel. Number 4, the city that started it all, Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. All right.
Number 4. Oh,
that's expensive.
Quite dramatic, this list.
This is. See, I can see it's building. And it is expensive. Seattle, now it's $2,100 a month for a one-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
Okay, number 3 on the list, San Francisco, California. It's the most expensive place to live compared to the rest. Okay, just guess. Seattle is $2,100 a month. This is pretty fun. So guess what a one-bedroom apartment in...
I can tell your 3,000. Your husband's 3, in the real estate business. Because you're like, oh, this is fun. Let's guess what the average rent is. Average price per square foot in San Francisco. Okay, let's go around the table.
What is it?
Julie, you guessed 3,000. Liz, you have a guess?
Okay, I'm going to... 2,900.
$3,700. Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. All you can afford is coffee in San Francisco. There's no food to be had. Number 2, Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, that's nice.
Just outside of Portland with a reasonable $1,100 a month rent and the number 1 coffee city in America. Does anyone want to take a guess? I can tell you
if it's LA, I'm done. I'm leaving.
Okay, no.
Is it LA?
No. I mean, why would you be done?
Chicago.
I don't know. I just
Just thought Leon fixed it and picked it. Okay,
it's Berkeley, California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The home of Pete's.
Huh? Yeah, Berkeley, right? California. Exactly, Liz. Coffee's third wave. That's what they call Pete's, Liz. The third wave.
Really?
And what is the rent in Berkeley?
$3,100 a month.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's some expensive city.
I will say this. I'm sorry that number 11 city was Pasadena, California. We did not make the top 10, but we have a lot of great coffee shops. Mm-hmm. Well, I found that exciting, frankly. Coffee cities. And the rent. Thank you, apartment guide. Thank you for sending us that story. We appreciate it.
Well, Leon, you don't get that kind of reporting every day.
No, you don't. Just, you know, it's nice. It's a way to brag about your city. We're the number 5 coffee city in America. Yes, indeed. All right, Julie, maybe your hostility towards Los Angeles is because there's an important NFC or AFC. I don't know what they're in, the NFC or the AFC championship game next week, where the Los Angeles Rams are going to be playing the New Orleans Saints.
Now, in the dome. They're coming to New Orleans, Leon.
Yes.
So good luck with that. Okay. Yes. And yes, you know I love the Saints. I lived in New Orleans for a long time. Leon, you lived with me when we lived in New Orleans.
Yes.
You know, my second son was born there. My kids grew up there. And somehow over the years, I became a Saints fan. And I'm always been a Saints fan. I love them. You know, true blue, good years, bad years, and they're having an awesome year this year, and there is no stopping them, Leon. That's all I'm saying. So I'm making a bet, okay?
Wow. All right.
That the Saints are going to beat the Rams, and they're going on to the Super Bowl.
Okay. I have been a Rams fan since last Saturday night, and
And how long have the Rams even been in Los Angeles?
Three seasons.
Oh, okay. Three seasons. You've got a long heritage with them.
Well, I will say this. I have always, since the time I was little, thought they have the best helmets in the NFL.
For sure.
There is no doubt about that. Yes. That their headgear is the best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I enjoy they have a very young coach. We got some local boys on the team from USC and from Cal. And it's a young team and it's a pretty dynamic team, and I enjoy that. My problem is with the NFL, not with the players or the team. So this is what stops me from becoming a rabid fan. But I did enjoy watching that game last week. And Julie, let's do it. Like mayors of cities.
Right. Okay. If the Saints win, you have to wear a twin sweater set with Mardi Gras beads. Okay.
And I will promise to do the show with a terrible New Orleans accent next week. The whole week. The whole show I'm going to do in a Cajun accent.
Oh, please, God, no. And then what happens if it goes the other way?
Oh, Julie, I want you to sit in your closet with a headband on. I want you to wear, like, hippie clothing in your closet. And then maybe I'm going to force you to wear that shirt inside out the whole time.
Okay.
Just to knock you off your game. Yeah. You have to get a scarf and wrap it around like your Lady of the Canyon and then wear your shirt inside out. How does that sound?
Okay. The bet is on. It's on, sister.
This is very high stakes.
It is.
All I care about is that the Patriots lose. That's the only thing I care about.
We can all agree on that, Liz.
All right. We would like to thank Sergio Enriquez, our engineer for today's show. Thank you, Sergio. We always appreciate you coming in and making us sound great. And thanks for sharing the sisters. If you enjoy the show, make sure you tell your satellite sister about it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the best way for us to grow. So that would be really fun for you to do.
All right, to-do list today. Jewel, what do you got on yours?
My to-do list is to undo my to-do from last week, which was I was going to take my dog Oliver to Home Depot to help to, like, socialize and sensitize him because he's overly enthusiastic when he meets other people. But this became a kind of a big discussion on our Satellite Sisters Facebook page, and we heard from a number of listeners that who have a lot of allergies to dogs and cats or who have children with terrible allergies. And I rethought that, and I thought, I don't have to take my dog to Home Depot. I don't, you know, having allergies, being asthmatic, this is really, that's a rough go. I can teach my dog to, you know, be social and kind and calm somewhere else and not at Home Depot. So I didn't go.
Oh, Julie, that's nice. You're a good person. Okay. Liz.
Even if I am a Saints fan.
Liz, how about you?
It's going to be the week of Marie Kondo, Leon. I'm going to investigate what all this hubbub is about. Yeah. I mean, generally, I know her deal, but I, of course, have never read the book. But now that it's like a TV show and everyone is talking about it and
people
are posting in the Facebook group that it is life-changing, I'm just going to see for myself, how life-changing could it possibly be?
Okay,
And I'll report back on my findings next week.
Liz, if she makes you get rid of all your cords.
That's
Liz.
It. People know that I have a tendency to collect like power cords. There are just certain categories of things that do give me joy, right? Isn't that her question?
Yes.
Does it give you joy? Yes, my box full of power cords actually gives me joy, Marie Kondo.
All right, this is Leon. My to-do list today is just to think good thoughts. I would like to see this LA teacher strike wrap up quickly. I'd like to get those teachers back into the classrooms, those kids back there, so they can have a happy, safe, productive school year here in 2019. So I hope
the same with the government shutdown.
Right.
Get those people back to
get
work.
Get those people back
it
to work
so
as well.
Must be
so hard. Both must be very difficult. And
yes.
So I'm thinking good thoughts about that. All right, everybody, have a great week.
You too, Leon.
All right, you too, Leon.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.